After enduring 2 years of lockdowns, the threat of illness and separation from loved ones, many Australians were hoping the national reopening would bring a reprieve just in time for Christmas and the summer holidays. But Omicron had very different plans, and unfortunately that's translated into more stress and uncertainty across the community. John Brogdon is the chair of Lifeline Australia. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's been a tough couple of years, to say the least, for Australians and globally. It's put unprecedented pressure on Lifeline, as we've heard many times. But what sort of demand have you seen for assistance since the Omicron outbreak?
Well, we peaked in terms of the number of calls in the nearly 60-year history of Lifeline in September last year. We got calls, over 3,600 calls on one day, and that was the peak for Lifeline. Somewhat significantly, on the 1st of January this year, New Year's Day, we received calls over 3,700 in one day. So what that demonstrates is I think people were hoping for a new year, for some return to normalcy, for the borders to be open, for people to be safe on the streets, you know, without masks, and maybe a chance to get over to Perth or get overseas and see friends and family. And those hopes have been in some ways dashed all over again. And people, I think, have started looking at 2022 as they did at 2021. And there's still an enormous amount of stress and pressure out there in terms of what is happening to people's health. And unlike COVID in 2020 and 2019, where it was 2020 and 2021, sorry, where it was rare to know somebody who had COVID, the numbers were relatively low. Now it's the reverse. It's rare not to know somebody who's got COVID. And as a consequence, that means people are losing shifts at work, they're not getting money into their bank accounts, they're worried about whether or not we're going to have the same or worse all over again in 2022. And as I said earlier, I mean, there are people who haven't seen friends and family for years now. It's no longer months, it's years, with no certainty that's about to happen anytime soon. So what we're seeing is enormous concern and worry that 2022 is going to be the same as, if not worse, than 21 and 20.
And can you give us a sense of the kind of calls that you've been receiving? I mean, you've painted a picture there of the sort of the overall stresses that the wider community is feeling. Are people specifically talking about their fears around Omicron? I mean, what is it that have people sort of reached an end here in terms of, you know, the hope that they had by the end of last year and that being dashed?
Well, certainly people are finding it really tough. I mean, as we all experienced, Kathy, 2021 was worse than 2020 in terms of the lockdown. There was no doubt we all felt that, and we saw that in our numbers coming through on a daily call rate. We saw them go through the roof all over again. And to give you an example, our call rates are 5% higher this year than they were January last year. In terms of the sorts of calls we're getting, there is no doubt we're getting calls about people who are, to use a very common term, over it. They really are looking for some break in the clouds so they can get some more certainty. I mean, as human beings, we really do yearn for two things. We yearn for human contact and we yearn for certainty. And right now, they're two things we're not getting. And particularly with the nature of Omicron, which we're being told is much more infectious but less damaging to people's health, it still means people are being locked down for some period of time, and they are feeling the stresses and pressures of that. And people are getting very tense about the future because, you know, yes, Australia and the world have been through wars and depressions and the like, but we aren't used to that. This great generation, this great cohort of the population at the moment have had relative peace and security and prosperity. And now we're seeing 2 years of uncertainty. And I think the other hard part, Kathy, is that people think we're turning the corner only to find out it's not better. It's still back in one form or another where we were last year and the year before. So there's an incredible sense of frustration. And yes, there is that feeling of helplessness that people aren't able to get back to where they were a year ago or 2 years ago.
As you mentioned, most of us would be rare a person who doesn't know somebody who has had COVID or has COVID right now and has been forced to isolate or has had to go through the process of recovery. But in terms of your own staffing for Lifeline, how are you being impacted?
Well, I don't mind telling you, whilst we're answering our calls and we've got a very high call answer rate against a very high call number, our people are pretty exhausted as well, and they reflect where the community's at, and they also reflect the fact that some of them are unable to come in and answer the phones. We do have the capacity for our people to answer calls from home, but a lot of them do like to come into our centres where they've got other people with them and supervisors and that sort of thing. And as a consequence, we're just the same as everybody else in terms of many of our volunteers having been affected. So our workforce has been, I guess, not unlike the health system, put under some stress and strain, but where the majority of our people answering calls are magnificent volunteers who'll just keep turning up and keep helping those who need the help of Lifeline.
And how are you managing those challenges then with your own volunteer workforce?
Well, they're pretty good. We're getting those who are able to step up and do more. And thankfully, with Omicron, most people aren't out, if you know what I mean, for long in terms of unable to come in and answer phones. So we're increasing our other services, our paid services as well. So we're doing everything we can. We're using every lever we've got to increase our workforce while we've got some patches in terms of people being unable to come in and take calls.
Yesterday we spoke to a Hollywood writer, Nick Guther, whose wife, who was also a screenwriter, take her own life last year after struggling with 13 months of long COVID. Yeah. And she had debilitating symptoms and a condition that was just unbearable for her, according to her husband. Are you seeing Australians with long COVID come forward to get help? I mean, because from what I understand, some of the issues around long COVID are psychological as well in terms of mental health.
Yeah, well, I can't speak to that specifically, but what I can say is that we still expect the effects of COVID to continue for years. I mean, to give you an example, the bushfires in Australia were now 2 years ago. We established a separate bushfire line to allow people to know that when they called through, they'd be calling through to somebody who was prepared to take the call about bushfires and knew the sort of situation they'd be in. Cathy, we're getting more calls today than we got during the bushfires. So it just demonstrates that people experience stress and pressure in different ways, but particularly at different times. So we sadly can confidently predict that the stress and pressure, the number of calls we're getting as a result of COVID, will go on for years after we get past this physical side. We also think that there's still an enormous amount of, if I can use the phrase, embedded stress and pressure, which will continue with people. So sadly, we don't think, that things are going to get better quickly in terms of people's mental health and their stress and their need to reach out to services like Lifeline. And that, I think, as you say, would be particularly relevant to people with long COVID who aren't bouncing back, who aren't back to normal after a week and are experiencing very debilitating circumstances. So I agree with you. We have that worry about long COVID, but we also have the worry about the extent of time beyond us dealing with or getting back to normal, whenever that might be, we will continue to see people whose lives have changed negatively for some time. And you think of it, there are some restaurants that are shut, there are others that are completely closed down, they're gone. There are people who couldn't get to their mother's deathbed in another state during COVID and missed that really important experience and really important emotional need to be by the side of a loved one when they're dying. People couldn't get to funerals. And these are really substantial things that are different to losing a job, getting job seeker and coming back 2 or 3 months later or 6 months later, whatever it might be. So people have experienced life events that they'll never be able to compensate for. And that won't leave them quickly, if at all.
I think that's a very important message for our policymakers that in terms of the response, we already know that there are shortcomings in our mental health sector. We really need to think far further down the path about just how we're going to manage this going forward. Thank you for bringing us up to date with the situation there.
Thank you. And Kathy, I might also say that people shouldn't feel they can't reach out, whether it's to Lifeline on 13 11 14 or to any other services. We've seen an increase in services, and to some extent it is a double-edged sword. It does demonstrate the level of stress and pressure, but at the same time, I'm proud to say it demonstrates that people are willing to reach out. We've got a number of people who call us saying, not only is this the first time I've called Lifeline, I never in my life thought I'd need Lifeline. Mm. And whilst that's negative, it's also positive because it means the message is getting through and people are reaching out and getting help. So please keep reaching out. It's okay for people not to be okay right now. These are extraordinary circumstances. So please don't suffer in silence. Please reach out, whether it's to us at Lifeline on 13 11 14 or whether it's to friends, family, doctors, GPs, other services. Really, people need to ensure they're not suffering alone and they get the help when they need it.
Yeah, very important message that you're not alone. John Brogdon, thank you.
Thank you.
John Brogdon is the chair of Lifeline Australia. And if you were impacted by any of the issues that we've raised in this segment, as John said, the number for Lifeline Australia is 13 11 14.